Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Malik Willis, Liberty Pro Day workout on Tuesday. There he is, dodging
That was long.
Look at that throw.
Man.
That's a throw because, he's not really set, doesn't have the base under him, and he fires that ball. Chris, what'd you make of him overall?
Impressive, really is. He's a guy that every time I see him, I like him more and more. I really do because, again, I think he's a natural thrower. I like his throwing motion and how he throws the football better than I liked Justin Fields or Trey Lance last year. I do. I think the guy, what he's shown to me post-college is the fact that some of the questions I had about some of the mechanics or the throwing motion itself have already kind of been cleaned up to make me go, oh, okay, all right. It's not only coachable, but, it is a natural throwing motion to where he can work out kind of the kinks. He's got a big-time arm like we talked about the other day. The other thing you look at him, Mike, his legs and butt. I mean, what a pair of legs and butt for a quarterback. That's where the running is real. I mean, big, square shoulders, strong back. I know everybody thinks the guy with the big pecs and the big biceps in the weight room is a strong guy. No, the guy with the big butt and big legs and big back, he's the guy you don't want to fight in the weight room. That's the guy. Mike, tell me if I'm crazy. He's got a real effect running the ball because I think he's going to be able to quarterback design runs, follow guys, do that. But I really think he's going to be a great scrambler and set up and launch balls like we saw there. He reminds me, the more I watch him, a little bit of Steve McNair more and more.
It's funny. It's because I was thinking of him too because he was classic country strong.
Right.
Big legs and butt.
Yes.
Big bodied.
Right.
Never lifted a weight.
Right.
Right.
Square
but
shoulders.
Could move away from pressure.
No doubt.
Yep. That's good. That's good.
Yep. Break tackles. I mean, he breaks a ton of arm tackles. That's really where I look at him. And again, I love this kid's ceiling, what I should say. I know I made Corral 1, Pickett 2, Willis 3, but I danced around with the idea of maybe making Willis 2. Willis is not as good as Pickett right now. There's just a few things in Willis's game that I'd like to see, like I talked about the other day. There's not a lot of plays of reading the defenses. There's not a lot of plays of going through progressions. The offense itself made it just, hey, here's a go route. Oh, just throw the slant route here. Oh, just throw to this guy running the 5-yard out route. That's like all there was to it. There was not a lot of system quarterback play. That's what scares you a little bit or why I didn't do that. But I think his overall talent is something you can be excited for and certainly think he's a first-round talent. And I don't know, the more you look at it, I just go Seattle, Pittsburgh. It just seems like the perfect places for a guy like Malik Willis.
Or Carolina, which is desperate for a franchise quarterback, and the only way they're going to get one is to draft one. They sit at 6. People say all these quarterbacks aren't good enough to be drafted high. The problem is quarterbacks get overdrafted.
Yes.
Because if you're desperate for a franchise quarterback, it's the only place you're going to get one involuntarily. You otherwise got to lure them to come to you, and they can't lure them to come to Carolina.
Well, that's what I don't get sometimes. You know, again, I don't get that, how some years it's that way. And you're right. First off, they should be overdrafted. Years where nobody learns, where I go, well, wait, this guy was overdrafted, but nobody cared. This guy was underdrafted, but we're not going to talk about it. You know, I'll always sit here and go, wait, Mahomes was drafted at 11, Tua was drafted at 5. You tell me how that makes sense. You know, again, so that year, everybody miscalculated that class with Watson and Mahomes. They were way better. They should have been 1 and 2. So you're right about that. And, you know, Mike, I'm glad you brought up Carolina. Just real quick on that. Do we really think Carolina is going to draft a quarterback? Do you really think that Matt Rhule in his last year, maybe, is going to want to go with a rookie quarterback? Do you think David Tepper, knowing this might be Matt Rhule's last year, is going to let him make a decision to pick the quarterback of the future? That's one I have a hard time kind of wrapping my head around.
Well, first of all, the Bears did it last year, and they traded up.
I know.
Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things.
Right.
I think that Tepper is so intent on getting a franchise quarterback, and he is probably miffed at the fact that, you know, Deshaun Watson – told him no thanks twice last year and this year. I don't know that they were ever a player for Russell Wilson. I don't know why Russell Wilson would want to go there given the broader circumstances. I think that from Tepper's perspective, he just wants the franchise quarterback. And if it saves Matt Rhule, so be it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't save Matt Rhule, Tepper, I think, believes he'll go find a coach that will get the most out of this quarterback. You know, Tepper is still relatively new to this thing. And Tepper is the example of great businessman who's been wildly successful in something other than football, and he thinks the skills are more transferable than they are. But he's still fairly new to this. And I think he's got to learn some of these lessons the hard way. And the next phase may be, me, the owner, picking the quarterback. I'm making the decision here. And if I end up making a coaching change, then I'll trust that I'll find a coach who really wants to work with this guy, even though that's one of the realities of football. When you change coaches, you may get a guy who really, really isn't all that fond
right.
of the quarterback. So
right.
you're going to have a bad marriage from the get-go, but that coach isn't going to tell you that because he wants to be an NFL head coach.
Right. I know that's the scary thing. You know, in fact, you know, that's what Matt Nagy got in Mitchell Trubisky, which is funny. And I felt like he never went in. So we got Matt Nagy with two different instances there of either way you want to look at it. But I know, Mike, and you bring up some good points there. And I don't know, the way David Tepper has operated, you might have swayed my thought there a little bit that, yeah, maybe they would still do quarterback. But that to me, if they think quarterback too, the other thing I look at and go, you know, again, I think Matt Corral is the best of the group, fits in any offense. You know, he's got an incredible, you know, ceiling and all of that. But as far as, you know, orchestrating a total NFL offense right now at this moment, that's where Kenny Pickett's the guy that's ready to go. You know, we saw them show great interest, but I don't think he doesn't wow me. Malik Willis wows me. I watch film of him and study him, and a few times every game I go, wow. Now, there's some other plays where I go, oh, he's better than that. He should miss that. How does he not see that guy? He's wide open. It's the first read. Those are the things he needs to clean up. Matt Corral wows me a lot. Kenny Pickett, I just go, good. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Never any bad. Good, 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 good. But I never go, wow. And that, to me, would scare me about drafting a quarterback that high, too.
So here's where David Tepper's business experience, I think, becomes relevant. He made his billions taking chances. He went buy low, sell high, find the wows. He's looking for the wows. And I think it makes him more willing and more inclined to go for a guy that may have that superstar potential. Because if he doesn't, we'll have another chance 2, 3, 4 years from now to do it again. But once I get that guy that fulfills the wow, I got a wow quarterback for 10 or 15 years. Look at the Chiefs. Look at the Browns now. Look at the Bills. Look at the teams that have that guy.
Definitely.
I'm willing to roll the dice because one of those guys is going to be the guy.
Right. You're probably right. And you're right. Those guys, Joe Burrow, Herbert with the Chargers, you said all the other guys, they've changed our thoughts of the organization.
Yeah.
And other teams that we looked at, and we were like, eh, and now we're like, damn, they're so cool. They're awesome. So you might be onto something there. And you kind of changed my mind a little bit through that conversation. Thank you.
Let's take a break. When we return, see, I'm not selfish when it comes to things like that. I'm willing to share my views. A couple of veterans finally found a home yesterday. We'll play a round of name or game with some other free agents that are still out there. We'll do that next on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Tua has the ability to throw with ball with different angles. I think Tua is actually a better athlete. They're both fragile. So he doesn't have an advantage there either. They're both your backup quarterback's as fragile as the guy that started. That's the other thing there too. So yes, I
understand. What the hell is fragile?
Fragile.
I think it's just fragile.
Okay.
Fragile. Fragile.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
I'm emphasizing the words and the enunciation there.
Well done. Very well done. Yes. And you know what? I did hear from some people, especially folks who saw the program on Sky Sports.
People say it that way, right?
Fragile is the way they say it.
I know. That's why I kind of said
fragile.
Yeah, I know. I've heard people say that way, though, too, before. That's why I wasn't like, wait, I don't think I'm as far off, even though I don't trust
myself. How dare we defer to the people who originated the language? How dare
yeah,
we?
Yeah, how dare we?
All right, Teron Armstead, or Teron Armstead,
on,
if we're
going
to do
English
alternative
right.
pronunciations. Teron Armstead and the Dolphins agree to a five-year deal, reportedly worth $75 million, not quite the $20 million per year that he was looking for, but that's what happens in free agency. Sometimes your expectations are higher than they should be. You end up on the market for a week, and it was smart for him to get it done because the money is really going to be restricted now that we get into week two. So he gets the deal done with the Dolphins. He turns 31 in July, 8 seasons as the starting left tackle for the Saints. Never started all 16 games in a season. Missed 9 last year with a knee injury, including the final 4. Had knee surgery in January. Should be ready for training camp. Your thoughts on Teron Armstead joining the Dolphins' offensive line?
Well, we know that is something that needed to be upgraded for the Dolphins, right? Hopefully this is a deal that hit the sweet spot for both sides here, because it had been tremendously risky for the Dolphins to pay Teron Armstead $20 million or north of $20 million a year. There is an injury history. We talked about this a lot lately. You know, the aging veteran, you know, who's got an injury history, like J.J. Watt. We used him as that guy last year, and I think there was somebody else we brought up too. That's a roll of the dice, and that's why you don't want to pay that big money. But at the same time, it is a desperate need for that football team. And when you talk about Mike McDaniels and his offense, right, you talk about, Trent Williams with San Francisco, left tackle, not only what he does in the pass game, but more importantly for that team, what he does in the run game is why they want him. So, yes, it makes sense for them. That was a desperate need and certainly a position group that needs to be shored up down there in Miami. It's just there is going to be that risk. Armstead's a little different than your normal franchise left tackle. You've seen franchise left tackles, Mike. Those are guys that are like, you know, they're the most naturally big guys you've ever seen in your life. It's just like they didn't have to work out that hard or do anything to be 6'7", 335. They're like that. And mom and dad are gigantic and probably could have played in the NFL too. Armstead's a little different in the fact that he's a little narrower. He's 305 pounds. And, you know, that's a little scarier, but I think it's the desperate need there and the fact that they need that left tackle. You know, good by them, and hopefully the money's right.
Yeah, it was that Laremy Tunsil trade that brought them a lot of return a couple of years ago, and they're hoping to deal with that aspect of the offensive line and get the team better. 2 straight years with winning records. We'll see if they can build on it. The Vikings snag Za'Darius Smith. He had a deal last week with the Ravens. It fell apart, but he didn't have another alternative. He had to go looking. The Cowboys had showed some interest. The Vikings end up getting him in the building and getting it done. 3 years, $42 million. I got a text from Paul Allen last night. I guess he met him or saw him somewhere. You know, impressive physical specimen, but back problem.
Ooh.
Back problem is the red flag. Especially for a guy that is taking on the Teron Armsteads of the world and larger tackles and taking that pounding. 18 snaps is all he played last year because of that back injury. So this is a calculated risk for the Vikings. Now, 3 years, $42 million is the report. I was told last night that this may be another one of those where when you see the details, it won't quite be 3 years, $42 million. So we'll see. But even then, it's a significant expenditure by the Vikings, and it is a risk because of the back injury from last year.
Definite risk. I mean, it fits right in there with what we just talked about again, too. And a guy that's, you know, early 30s, then you start to go, whoa, or at least, you know, got some wear and tear on the tires there to go, wow, to pay that kind of money. Now, we know the Danielle Hunter, the rumors out there, they're trying to trade him. Doesn't really fit the 3-4 type defense. Not going to be able to do the stand-up outside linebacker stuff, maybe to the capacity Za'Darius Smith can. Za'Darius Smith is all he's been in is these 3-4 type defenses, whether in Baltimore or in Green Bay. So it's a system fit. It makes sense there. They obviously felt like they needed some sort of difference maker on their front because they don't have that right now. That's for sure. So to me, it seems a little high priced, but you're right. Let's see what the numbers are. But there is definitely some risk here with that type of injury.
He turns 30 on September 8th. But okay. Again, it's not the age as much as it is the injury. That is the key. And so the Vikings try. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. You pair Za'Darius Smith with Danielle Hunter, you got a formidable pass rush to. I still have the feeling Hunter's not going to be there.
It seems like that, right? That's what it feels like. And I would think Danielle Hunter, as athletic as he is, I mean, you know, if you wanted to do 3-4 things, do we think he really can't stand up in a 2-point stance and drop back into coverage over here every now and then? I would think they could manage a way to figure out how to get that guy to figure out some of those things.
All he's got to do is put his hands straight up in the air. Good luck getting the ball past him.
Yeah,
he's
seriously.
Huge.
He is.
All right. Name or game. We'll play that next here on this Wednesday edition of PFT Live. The game is name or game. These big name veterans are still on the free agent market at this point. Are they more name or do they still have game? Let's do as many as we can here in our limited time because we talk too much for the first 100 minutes of the program. Bobby Wagner, we were selfish with our time. He was cut by the Seahawks before free agency even began. He had a head start. Still no team for Bobby Wagner. Name or game, Chris? He turns 32 in June.
Game still. He's still got game. He does. I mean, he's not the superstar he once was. But I got to think, right, with Bobby Wagner is just that maybe he's overpricing himself on the market right now. And that's why he's not having a job. But, man, this is still a really good football player who did not show signs of, like, falling off the cliff or anything like that here. So I still think there's game left in Bobby Wagner.
Well, and I think from his perspective, and I don't know this, but there's a number that you'll take now, and if you're not at that number, he can wait.
Yeah,
why rush?
Right.
But generally, inside linebackers are not getting much interest on the open market this year. And the ones who have signed, like, you know, Miles Jack, who kind of fell out of the sky for the Steelers, not a huge deal for him. Plenty of inside linebackers available, though, that just aren't getting much, if any, interest at all. Stephon Gilmore, Defensive Player of the Year in 2019, available. Turns 32 in September. He had 2 interceptions in 8 games last year with the Panthers. Name or game?
Like, okay, it's a little name here. I don't like this because I don't like to sound disrespectful. The guy's still a good player, but is he going to be like on an island, shut down your best receiver in the game anymore? No, that to me has gone. Still real good, got value, definitely. But like, I in your perfect world, you want him to be your second corner right now as he comes down the home stretch of his career. That's what he is. But you don't want him to be your main guy to go, oh, go lock up, you know, Ja'Marr Chase here. That he's not there anymore.
Yeah. Is he a guy that you think later in his career could make a slide to safety? We've seen some guys do that.
He is a tackler. He is not afraid to tackle and throw his body around. He'd be a guy that I'd look at to go, he could definitely do it. There's a physical nature in his game that some of the top cover corners don't have that you go, no, I could see this guy doing it. He can. I mean, New England expected him to make tackles on the edge of the defense and stop the run game and do all that. And same with up in Buffalo. So I do think he's a guy that could have that on the radar, Mike.
Tyrann Mathieu, after 3 years with the Chiefs, he turns 30 in May. The Chiefs have clearly moved on. Is it name or game for Tyrann Mathieu? And let me start with this. I think the guy can still play. I know that maybe we've seen some slippage.
Yeah.
Between what he can do and the kind of leader he is, the kind of person he is that you want in your locker room, you want inspiring your defense, that means something, or at least it should. And
it
I
does.
Know you want a collection of personalities,
yeah.
But you need a guy like that who can set the tone.
He's got that value. There's no doubt. The game has slipped a little bit. So I guess, again, if I'm going to sit here and – you know, go either way. I'd lean towards name for the sake of this segment to be real with it. But he's still a good player, no doubt. But the day of him, you know, like he was 3 or 4 years ago where you're going, oh, my gosh, in the box, makes the tackle. Holy cow, this next play out here covering Edelman is a nickel. Whoa, the next play he's at safety playing center field as good as anybody in the sport. No, he's not that anymore. He's not. And really, you know, it's a shame because he's a good football player that – you know, does have a name, and I'm sure is, like these other guys, commanding a little bit more money, going, wait, I haven't fallen off that much. But teams, again, when you hit that age, they're reluctant to throw that huge money at you, at least for long-term packages. And I'm sure that's like you explained with Bobby Wagner. I would think that's going to be a little bit like Honey Badger here this offseason.
Wait, pick your spot, see how these teams – stack up, maybe wait for an injury. But if you're not going to get offered close to what you want, you've made your money, you can be patient, and an opportunity may present itself that possibly doesn't exist right now. Let's take a break. Yesterday we drafted the best quarterbacks in the AFC, a very stacked group. We're going to flip it over, mainly by way of illustration, to the NFC, the lesser conference right now, and we'll draft the quarterbacks from that group of teams when PFT Live continues right after this. It's a very deep group in the AFC, so deep that Lamar Jackson didn't leave the board until the 7th pick out of 10. Derek Carr languishing till pick 8. Matt Ryan, the new flavor of the week in Indianapolis, the 9th guy. And there's Ryan Tannehill. What do I have to do to be higher than number 10? Well, maybe you should go to the NFC where you would be. So we're going to draft the quarterbacks in the NFC today just to show how much better the quarterbacks collectively are in the AFC.
You not have even
a
close.
Question for me. I've done my best to not cheat. I'm
okay.
Not looking. I noticed it down there earlier, but I didn't look at it, so I have not looked at it.
You're going to know this one. This is a little along the lines of what color is blue. We know the NFC dominated, right, for a long time. 84-96, NFC wins the Super Bowls. It was the Giants, the Bears, Washington, the Cowboys, and the 49ers, and nobody else for a 13-year period. Who was the team, the last AFC team to win the Super Bowl before the NFC started that streak, Mike?
It was the Raiders.
Right. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Know. What color is blue?
Yes, exactly. Right. Right.
Come on. Come on. No, Pete, no. You got. I mean, come on. We both. One thing that Chris and I both know, we don't know much, but we know Super Bowl history.
Yes, we do.
And, yeah.
That was Marcus Allen.
It was
right?
Marcus Allen. And he had the run where he changes directions and shoots through the middle.
Amazing,
and, yeah.
Right? And what'd they win that game? 38-9? Was it 38-9? Is that what the final score was?
I think that was it. That was the Jack Squirek halftime. Yeah. They ran the same play, the same screen pass to Joe Washington that they ran when the two teams met in the regular season. Squirek read it, snatched it, and scored the touchdown, 38-9. Squirek on the cover of Sports Illustrated after that one, even though Marcus Allen was the MVP. All right. Aaron Rodgers. Look, I don't know. Can you even debate it at this point? You still can't. He's still the best quarterback in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Tom Brady's back, but Rodgers is still the better quarterback.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Rodgers still has the ability to, like, oh, crap, everything's going bad. You can carry the team and do all that. It's not as much as it used to be. You know, he's not, like we talked about yesterday, I think in Mahomes or Josh Allen's class anymore. But in the NFC, yeah, he's the number one pick. And the number two pick, which is absolutely insane that we're saying this about a guy that's going to be 45 in August, but is Tom Brady. It is Tom Brady. There's no question about it. He is the next guy. I mean, Brady, and still, like we talked about, there's really no weakness in his game other than just getting hit. We saw that. And it's almost standard. Just You get enough pressure. It doesn't have to be the greatest pressure in the world. That's where we see Brady falter. And that's it. Everything else is still top-notch. And his arm, and he's throwing the ball, like we've talked about before, as good as he ever has in his life. So Brady's his number two. It's amazing.
And he retires for 40 whole days, and he's back. And who knows how much longer he'll stick around after this year. I have a feeling it's going to be more than 2022. Matthew Stafford, Super Bowl champion, all those years in Detroit where we really didn't get to see him much other than the Thanksgiving game that's tucked into that early morning where we're not paying attention, mid-afternoon time slot, we're eating dinner, we're getting ready for the Cowboy game. We finally get to really see him this past season, and he elevates the Rams to a Super Bowl championship, new contract. He's going to be sticking around, and we're going to see plenty more Matthew Stafford playing at a high level for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, it's another thing that just jumps out about this NFC thing is the three top quarterbacks we're talking about are, you know, they're old. There's no other way to say it. They're old. And then we look at over the AFC and you go, man, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. I mean, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, holy crap, they're going to be around at least for another decade. It's really amazing. It's another thing that jumps out. Not only is the AFC more talented and better, they're starting the primes of their career where this group here is it's going to the end. All right, next one I think is Dak Prescott for me. Dak Prescott, even though it was not his best year last year, it definitely wasn't coming off the injury, battled other injuries. You know, the shoulder in training camp or lat, whatever that was, the calf muscle against the Patriots. And that really seemed to be kind of the turning point of the year. He was never the same after that. But still, Dak Prescott, we know the leader he is, push the ball down the field. He is a good athlete, can do all the quarterback design run stuff, tough as hell in the pocket. He'll be he's my next pick.
Yeah, that would have been mine too.
You would have.
Although,
okay.
I'm surprised Kyler Murray isn't higher on the list. But when you have three straight years now, and particularly the last two, and really what happened in 2021 to start 10-2 and to have it all fall apart. Now that ankle, I think, was worse than we ever realized. But it's contrary to what we saw early in his career. Early in his career, he was very adept at avoiding contact. He's not that same guy anymore. He needs to get that back. And Chris, I think that an issue continues to exist, a very real issue between Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And I doubt that it comes to a head this year, but if he doesn't get the contract he's looking for, it's going to explode next year. And there's still a chance it will explode this year. But there are real issues between Murray and the Cardinals.
Wow. We haven't heard anything. You know, it seemed like, okay, they were talking, and you thought, okay, well, they'll figure it out. But that'll be interesting to see. You're right. Kyler Murray.
I think they realized, both sides realized they needed to shut up.
Okay.
That it was going to hurt everybody if they didn't.
Right.
But I still think the fundamental problem is there.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that'll be something to watch for because Murray seems like the kind of guy that's, you know, he's no nonsense. He's not going to take any crap. All right. Believe it or not, there is no question that the Minnesota Vikings quarterback, Kirk Cousins, is the next pick. I mean, there's no question. That's what's amazing. It's not even a question or a debate. It's like, no, for sure, this is the sixth best quarterback in the NFC, hands down. So there you go. That proves it all right there.
Well, I'm sure that he would like to be regarded as higher than number six, but you're right. And it's just it's a reflection of the fact that after him, who's there?
Yes.
We're not going to have another round after the break.
No.
There's no more that deserve to be in that class of that conversation, unlike the AFC, where we could have kept even going beyond five rounds. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up this Wednesday edition of PFT Live right after this. We have one more point to make, but before we get there, our good friend Mary in Atlanta, the Eagles fan, says, please say something affirming your friendship before you sign off. Us kids hate it when you dads fight. My response to her was, screw that big-headed dope. So,
well said.
We're fine.
Fine.
We're fine.
We're perfectly capable about getting heated at a subject and not getting heated
and
at
not
each other.
Not being mad. I've never been mad at you. That is, I can't believe that it's true, but I've never been mad at you.
No,
don't push your luck.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can keep it going.
Quick question. If Baker Mayfield gets traded to an NFC team, does he become the next guy on our draft of top NFC quarterbacks? Is he number seven?
I think so. I do think he's number seven. And I just look at it right now with Carolina saying they don't want him, which I understand. I mean, they're not going to roll the dice 3 years in a row on quarterbacks. He's going, if he's going anywhere, it's Seattle. I think he would be seven.
Unless I'm still holding out hope, and I know it's unrealistic, but I just hope John Dorsey is buddy-boying his way around the Lions facility to try to get them to bring in Baker Mayfield. He would be perfect buddy-boy. He's my buddy-boy, my boy Blue. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Have a great day.